It is November the 4th, 1952, and we are here listening to the election return.
Early lead. New York State has been conceded to the Republicans by the Democrats. North Carolina is apparently safely Democratic, although the Republicans polled a very heavy number of votes there. In North Dakota, the Republicans are running well ahead as expected. Ohio has been conceded by the Democrats to the Republicans. Ohio is in the Republican column. And Oklahoma has been producing a surprise. The Republicans now seem to be pulling ahead with out-state vote coming in and showing Republican majorities in rural Oklahoma. So Oklahoma may be another southern state to go into the Republican column, very much to many Democrats' surprise. Oregon, a very small percentage of votes in from Oregon as yet. Pennsylvania, with its big block of 32 electoral votes, equal to California's 32, second ranking to New York's 45, shows at the moment a very small Republican edge, but that indicates that the early vote from Pittsburgh and from Philadelphia has not been sufficient to hold the state in the Democratic column. It looks as if Pennsylvania, where it may also go Republicans. Rhode Island has moved up ahead with the Democrats now by a very small portion. They're barely holding on in Rhode Island. South Carolina, as you see, the Republicans are about 1,000 votes ahead. However, this should be pointed out, in South Carolina, the Republican vote is split there between the Republican ticket and an independent Democratic ticket. And our reports from CBS correspondent South Carolina are that this majority on the Republican and the independent Democratic ticket are not enough to give the state's electoral votes to General Eisenhower, even though he may win by a popular vote in South Carolina. South Dakota, the Republicans running ahead 2-1 as expected. In Tennessee, that border state, the situation is considerably different now, with the Republicans pulling farther ahead. They're now ahead, as you see, by 3,000 votes, and nearly three-quarters of the votes are counted in Tennessee, so that border state may also be found in the Republican column. And in Texas, you see that the Republicans are holding on to a lead, but the Democrats are moving up a little bit. But nearly three-quarters of the state have been counted, and the Republicans are still holding on by nearly 50,000 votes in, something over 50,000 votes in Texas. In Utah, the Republicans are running ahead, as had been expected in Utah. Vermont is solidly in the Democratic column. The Republicans ran into no trouble there. In Virginia, was the first state to be cracked by General Eisenhower in the solid South this year, although others seem to be joining Virginia in the Republican column. Virginia, for the first time since 1928, has gone Republican. Washington, very scattered returns from Washington State so far. West Virginia, the Republicans running ahead by a very narrow margin in Virginia. Very few returns from the state as yet, but this is a surprising early return from West Virginia. In Wisconsin, where Senator McCarthy apparently is winning a re-election to the Senate, the entire Republican slate is running ahead by the margin you note here. And in Wyoming, situation in Wyoming with very few of the votes counted shows a small Republican majority at the moment in Ohio. Now let's take a look at that popular vote board again, which has some new totals on it. 12,027,000 votes have been cast for General Eisenhower. 10,710,000 votes have been counted for Governor Stevenson. In the popular vote, in the electoral vote, it takes the electoral vote, you know, to win. 266 needed. General Eisenhower has now cinched 11 states. He's leading in 21 other states with a total number of electoral votes involved, 378. But you note on this board that Governor Stevenson has moved ahead in four or five more states. He now leads in 16 states with a total of 153 electoral votes. On the electoral scoreboard, Governor Stevenson has moved up in the last few moments with new reports from other states, so that the edge of General Eisenhower in the electoral count is narrowing.
The head of the new products division of Remington Rand's Laboratory for Advanced Research. Art, what happened there when we came out with that funny prediction?
Well, we had a lot of troubles tonight,
Strangely enough, they were all human and not the machine. To start a prediction like this, you have to assume certain facts about past trends. When UNIVAC made its first prediction with only 3 million votes in, it gave 5 states for Stevenson, 43 for Eisenhower, 93 electoral votes for Stevenson, 438 for Eisenhower. We just plain didn't believe it. So we asked UNIVAC to forget a lot of the trend information that we had put into it, assuming that that was wrong. So UNIVAC worked on a smaller margin of knowledge. This won't give a wrong answer, but it'll throw the odds to the extent that you saw. As the prediction, as more votes came in, the odds came back, and it was obviously evident that we should have had nerve enough to believe the machine in the first place. It was right. We were wrong. Next year, we'll believe it.
You mean 4 years from now, Art?
Well, yes. Next.
Well, I think that was very handsome of Mr. Draper and the people down there to take the blame for UNIVAC's error. It just goes to show that you can't outsmart the machine. However, we're beginning to get some of the state returns in from UNIVAC. One interesting thing is that UNIVAC still shows that Massachusetts will probably go for Stevenson. We may see whether that works out right or whether UNIVAC changes its mind. At the moment, then, UNIVAC predicts, as everyone else is predicting now, that Eisenhower is way ahead in a big sweep. UNIVAC says he'll carry all but 8 states. So that's the way it stands now with our electronic brain back in working order and agreeing with all the human brains. Now to another human brain, Walter Cronkite.
All I can say about this election is if we Democrats had enough Yeshu, Bavalontek, Rzeszki, Tinsel, Rybki, Wapki, Nadravian, Tok, Dobry Jin, Dobry Schnapps, Dobry people, we should have won.
Now prepared to give voice to a decision which, as Mr. Kaltenborn told you, can only be a decision to concede victory to his Republican opponent. The people are swarming around, gathering. Most of them haven't any idea which way to run or where to stand or what to do because they're very anxious to be in on this statement, which is one of the crucial statements of...
There he is.
They have a version running, Stevenson has entered the hall. He is facing me now. He is getting up on the platform. He is stalking to talk to some of the correspondents. He's dressed in a dark blue suit and a red tie. There's a big smile on his face, and he's just winked at one of the reporters. He's taking his speech out of his pocket. There is a large, as you can obviously see and hear, there is a large round of applause. His lips are pressed together. He is looking now over at the organist who is making the noise, the musical noise. There seems to be a slight mist in his blue eyes. The photographers are snapping their pictures. His son, his youngest son, John Fell, and Borden, his middle age, not middle age, but the middle son, is there. You can hear the chants coming from the back of the hall now. We want Stevenson. They wanted him. They voted for him, but not quite enough voted for him to make him president, and he is now the defeated candidate. He is pausing. He's talking to Wilson Wyatt, his campaign manager. And Mrs. Ernest Ives, his sister Buffy, is talking, and I'm going to switch now to the pool mics at the pool.
I have a statement that I should like to make. If I may, I shall read it to you. My fellow citizens have made their choice and have selected General Eisenhower and the Republican Party as the instruments of their will for the next 4 years. The people have rendered their verdict, and I gladly accept it. General Eisenhower has been a great leader in war. He has been a vigorous and valiant opponent in the campaign. These qualities will now be dedicated to leading us the next 4 years.
No!
It is traditionally American to fight hard before an election. It is equally traditional to close ranks as soon as the people have spoken. From the depths of my heart, I thank all of my party and all of those independents and Republicans who supported Senator Sparkman and me. That which unites us as American citizens is far greater than that which divides us as political partisans. I urge you all to give to General Eisenhower the support he will need to carry out the great tasks that lie before him. I pledge you mine. We vote as many, but we pray as one. With a united people, with faith in democracy, with common concern for others less fortunate around the globe, we shall move forward with God's guidance toward the time when his children shall grow in freedom and dignity in a world at peace. I have sent the following telegram to General Eisenhower at the Commodore Hotel in New York. The people have made their choice, and I congratulate you. That you may be the servant and guardian of peace and make the dale of trouble a door of hope is my earnest prayer. Best wishes, Adlai E. Stevenson. Someone asked me as I came in down on the street how I felt. And I was reminded of a story that a fellow townsman of ours used to tell, Abraham Lincoln. And they asked him how he felt once after an unsuccessful election.
We won Anthony!
He said he felt like a little boy who had stubbed his toe in the dark. Idiot. That he was too old to cry, but it hurt too much to laugh.
Photographers are coaching the governor now as to how they want him to pose. You've heard his last statement, embellished at the very end with a typical Stevensonian footnote of wit. Now he is turning in this direction. We're about 8 feet from the governor. He is holding his telegram up that he sent to General Eisenhower for the photographers to snap. There's an organ obbligato in the background, and there's an obbligato of protest that you must have heard and seen, perhaps, as he spoke the words of the defeated candidate. Yesterday, the protagonist, now the man eloquent in defeat. There were cries of no. There were wet eyes in the house. Here in front of me, about 4 feet away to my left, is one of his staunch supporters, Miss Lauren Bacall, the Hollywood movie actress who, with her husband Humphrey Bogart, had been campaigning with him through the East. They flew
back to California. Governor Stevenson has just conceded defeat to General Eisenhower, and so we will conserve the balance of the tape to get a statement from General Eisenhower. Stevenson conceded at 12:45 Oklahoma time.
Hotel ballroom, the microphone.
Mr. Eisenhower is approaching the platform, and that is what all the cheering is for. We are about to hear the statement from General Eisenhower, who is the president-elect.
I'm not certain, my friends, whether or not you have read or heard the telegram that Mr. Stevenson just sent to me. It reads, "The people have made their choice, and I congratulate you. That you may be the servant and guardian of peace and make the day of trouble a door of hope is my earnest prayer. Best wishes, Adlai Stevenson." Just as I came down to the ballroom, I replied to that telegram as follows. "I thank you for your courteous and generous message. Recognizing the intensity of the difficulties that lie ahead, it is clearly necessary that men and women of goodwill of both parties forget the political strife through which we have passed and devote themselves to the single purpose of a better future. This, I believe, they will do." Signed with my name. That this is a day of dedication rather than of triumph. But I am indeed as humble as I am proud of the decision that the American people have made. And I recognize clearly the weight of the responsibilities you have placed upon me.